This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
What an eventful last couple of shows. We could get more breaking news today, but it does look like there's competition now. There's talk still of the Bulls adding yesterday right at 5 o'clock, right when we started NBA free agency. They were the first move. Shams came out and he tweeted about Lonzo Ball. They then added the Caruso.
I'm thrilled for two reasons. A, he plays dynamite defense, and B, I can use the David Caruso from CSI Miami gif all year long.
There you go.
All year long. Every time he makes a steal or makes a stop or they win and he does something good, you're getting a David Caruso. He's going to be putting on those shades, looking into the sun, putting on the shades, turning his head. That's the gift you're going to get.
He's a hardworking player, and yes, it's something that they could use
they need
a little
somebody
bit.
Like that.
Yeah, and Lonzo will add the defense that they could certainly use. Now, DeMar DeRozan is on their radar. What they'd like to do is add a three. They've got the starting backcourt now with the point guard that they've been wanting and needing for years. The Bulls have not been able to land the point guard for a long, long time. And I bet you that they were after D. Rose, too. And then when D. Rose decided to go back to the Knicks, they went to Caruso as the backup. You know, the ball move was their starting point guard, a 24-year-old player who is ascending. They would like a small forward here now where they go Ball and they go Zach in the backcourt. They could move Patrick Williams to his natural four spot, his natural position at the power forward. And then, of course, you traded for your center, who's an all-star. And if they could add a scorer and another athletic player like DeMar DeRozan, that would be something.
Go Bulls!
But it seems like there's some competition from the Clippers. He's meeting with the Clippers the last we heard.
Do they have less cash? That's not their GM, less cash. I'm saying, do they have less cash to spend than we do?
Now,
I mean, are we going to make this work?
It depends
basketball rules and however they do their stuff is really
well. With a sign and trade, you could add anyone, can't you? Because it's via trade, you just have to trade somebody to make the salaries work. But you can go over the cap via trade. You just can't. So, like, and I believe that's how both of those things would go down.
So there's a good possibility that we're going to also add DeMar DeRozan. A good chance. A legitimate chance.
I don't know how good it is.
Better than 50-50?
It seems like the smoke has been there. That this is something that Brian Windhorst has been reporting for the last 2 days. He doubled down on it today, saying the Bulls are taking a big swing here for DeMar DeRozan.
Okay, so let's play the game. What if the Bulls get DeMar DeRozan? Where do you slot the Chicago Bulls in the East going forward for this year?
They're certainly a playoff team. They're better than a 7 or 8 seed. They're probably somewhere
6 or 5.
They're somewhere in that range with, I think, upside, because I believe, as we've talked about, Zach is ascending. I don't believe we've seen the best of Zach. I think a point guard makes him better, too. We believe that Patrick Williams is just scratching the surface, and he could hopefully take this year one to year two leap that we see. And I mentioned Lonzo Ball again. Like, how often do you get a 24-year-old free agent?
Well, not only is he going to help you as a pure point guard, he's very good defensively. You added good defense in Caruso. By the way, I tweeted you the gif.
You are, while you were talking to me?
Yeah.
You're the magic man, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I am. It's all mental. So you're going to be better on the defensive front. So, I mean, look.
Where do you have him?
5 or 6?
Yeah.
Like, look, they're going to be a playoff team. Do I think they're going to win a title with this group? No, but what this means to me is the fanatical fan with moderate knowledge is they're going to be a team that's relevant. And that's kind of step one. Make yourself relevant. You know, get on everybody's radar a little bit. Maybe don't get yourself put in a situation where, as you say, there's always going to be a superstar that wants to be traded. Always keep that in mind with all the moves you're making.
Well,
so that
these guys, you can always flip them,
that's
too.
That's my point. Yeah. So have this all. Like, I'm riding with AK. I got down a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Last year was not fun.
No, I was down. After saying I'm going to ride, now I'm back. I'm riding.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and especially, I've always raged about being in the middle of the NBA. But I think there's a difference between being in the middle of the NBA with Jimmy Butler, who's really good, and Dwayne Wade at the end of his career and Rajon Rondo at the end of his career. Not a lot else there. This is, to me, I don't know where it could go. But again, I think this could be a middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team,
yep,
with the arrow going up.
And that's an improvement.
Right. Well, right. And not only do you give improvement and do you become relevant, like you say, but you go into all of it with hope. Can Zach really take that next step into a premier player?
Can Patrick Williams develop into what you're hoping he can develop into as well?
And can Lonzo Ball be the player that Magic Johnson and others envisioned him being when he was the second overall pick? And again, by the way, he's only going to be 24 years old. This isn't a 29-year-old player who has really done everything to reach his potential. And then we've seen, I used to not love adding 30-plus-year-old players to a young team. But we saw the influence of a Chris Paul. We've seen Connolly with what he's done in Utah. And DeMar DeRozan can still do stuff. And when you add another 20-point scorer who has been through a lot of playoff wars, when you're not relying on him to be, like, think about it. He would be your third scorer.
Yeah.
You know, like, Lonzo Ball he's a 15-point-per-game guy, but it would be Zach, it'd be Vooch, and then it would be DeRozan, and you'd have Lonzo Ball running the whole show with lots of athletes on the court with them, versatile players like AK's been saying, positionless basketball, guys who can run, guys who are athletic, guys who can jump. You know, like, that's not a small try-hard lineup like the Bulls have had before. You have a point guard who's long and who can defend. You have as athletic of a two guard in Zach LaVine as anybody in the league.
Yep.
You have a three who could still, if they get DeRozan, who could still score and brings the veteran presence. You have a Patrick Williams player who's going, you're going to need for defense, because a lot of your guys in the starting lineup besides Lonzo don't play defense. He could play defense, and he's not pressured to score a ton, because you've got guys around him who you could have three guys who could average 20 points per game. And so now you're asking him to do the things that he's thriving at and continue to blossom. I'm excited if they get DeRozan and I'm still excited today if they don't, because I still think they want to add a wing. This is the most excited I've been about a Bulls team since probably the last year of Tibbs, with Butler and D. Rose when they reached the second round of the postseason. None of the Hoiberg years excited me. I never fell for the Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and Rondo Bulls.
Well, you have
and then it just got crap with Jim Boylan.
You have a professional coach, and I think you're not going to win an NBA title with this group, but you're going to be a playoff team with, like you said, upside. The arrow's pointing up, and hopefully it's the springboard. It's the start to new and better days. And it makes them, like, it definitely has re-energized me. Again, like I said, when they changed owner or management, I said, I'm going to ride with them. I'm not going to lie. I got, like, a little worn down last year. I didn't, you know, it was not fun.
But, you know, the funny part is AK's only been here for what? 16 months?
Yeah, not long.
He was hired during the pandemic.
Yeah.
When the shutdown was going on. That was when? In April or May of last year? March, April, or May, somewhere in there. So he's been here for just over a year. He's made a huge trade for Vooch. He's landed Lonzo Ball, the first free agent, a guy that picked the Bulls. And he's continuing to try to add, and he hired that coach that you mentioned.
Yes.
That was top
professional
shelf.
Professional coach.
Professional coach.
So, yeah, no, I mean, it's, Look, they're the team that, you know, you're expecting to make the postseason next of all our Chicago teams. You got the White Sox, obviously, that will run roughshod over the rest of the American League in the postseason this year. I would suggest to you at this point, based on how the NBA is set up and the number of teams that get into the postseason and where I think they're at, I would think that the Chicago Bulls are the next team here in this fine city that will visit postseason play.
You lead me perfectly into the poll question of the day on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. So I'm asking you this question today. After the White Sox, all right, so the White Sox are going to make the postseason. White Sox are going to win their division. They're 9 games up on Cleveland. And I'm asking you, after the White Sox, which Chicago team will make the postseason first? Now, remember, the Bears have the first crack at this, you know, and there's the extra playoff team. It's how they made the playoffs last season. They were a playoff team. So the options are the Bears, the Blackhawks, who a lot of people think are a playoff team as well, the Bulls, or the Cubs. Now, that wouldn't go for the Cubs this year. They're not making the postseason. That would go if Jed turns them around and resets them quickly. Vote online on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. If you want to answer that, be our guest at 332-3776. Are the Bulls back? Are you rejuvenated like Waddle? And how good can this team be? I believe they can be good with hope. It's one thing to just build a mediocre team to be the sixth seed. It's another thing to build a team who didn't make the postseason the year before with hope, with upside. Herman in Indiana, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Herman?
Well, I'm kind of interested in the backcourt with DeSantis coming in with 90 games of college experience as a first-team All-American and the Cousy Award winner as the best point guard. And then I'm going to ask, who's going to back up Vucevic? You got rid of Gafford, who blossomed in Washington. He isn't fouling out. He's doubled his points and rebound point protection or board protection, and he was a shot blocker. I'm kind of looking at the second team as who's going to fill in these needs, and is Coby White going to be around?
It's a great
considering
question.
Considering the Santa Moose
right.
possibility.
Right. It's a great question. I asked the guys that question. I don't know. Would Coby be included in any of these sign-in trades? We know Markkanen is a chip that they've got right now. But they'll get a backup center with an athlete in the second wave of free agency. They've got a mid-level exception. They could fill it in that regard. They can sign a minimum. Again, Gafford's an athlete. You know, the Gaffords grow on trees. That's why I've always wanted to draft second-round picks, because you could find Gafford in the second round almost every year. So I'm not concerned about who their backup center is.
No.
I like more scoring, more athletes, and then I want to see after that how they fill in the rest of the roster.
I think the Coby White question is an interesting one.
Answer that. Will Coby White be on the team next year? Remember, he just had shoulder surgery. We all had high hopes for him. I don't think his second year was as good as we all thought it would be. And now he's got a summer where he can't really develop his skills because he's rehabbing the shoulder. But have they rejuvenated your basketball buzz in this town? And which team, other than the White Sox, will be first to make the postseason? 312-332-3776. Anthony Rizzo was also on this radio station after Jed Hoyer said what he had to say about those extension offers yesterday. Rizzo countered that today. There was some good juicy stuff from Riz. We'll play that here in the 2 o'clock hour. We're also going to get a Bears report as they were finally back in pads. But there are some question marks. So a lot to get after today on Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Interesting sports days in the city of Chicago. We got the first place White Sox back in action tonight. Royals again, then the big Cubs Sox series this weekend. Len Casper's going to join us later in the show. Don't look at me like that.
Well, that I know, you got evil in your eyes. No, I get what you're saying. I mean, you feel like you have to say the big Cubs and Sox series.
Oh, I know how Sox fans are going to come sauntering into Wrigley
this year. They should.
You know, I'm sure tickets from Cubs fans can be had.
Yeah.
There could be a takeover on the north side.
How's it feel?
I don't
know. You're no longer on top.
I'm going to be at the game on Saturday. I told you that. I'm still going to represent and say, and like I said, one of our listeners laughed at the notion that this will be the first time I can taunt a 7-year-old and his White Sox fandom. Like, I'm supporting him with him rooting for the White Sox. But now, look, it's Rafael Ortega or bust. You know, this is about Alcantara.
Supporting him is not a part-time job. It's full-time.
No, it's not. Yeah, now, not in competition. Not always in competition. Michael Jordan's dad used to beat the hell out of him and pick up basketball. You think I'm going to let him just roll into Wrigley Field and start chanting, let's go White Sox?
Their goal was the same thing. It was for Michael to be great. You razzing your 7-year-old about his favorite baseball team, where is the common good there?
It's not always blue, like what you say, sunshine and blue skies.
Yeah.
Like, look, you want to be a fan, you're going to have to take the good and the bad. You want to go oppo of your dad. You want to go, that's fine. You can be a Sox fan here. I'll support that. I'll buy you stuff. We'll take you to games. But now you made your choice. Daddy's rooting for the Cubs. I'm not going to go easy on you this weekend. It's on.
So there's a difference between rooting for the Cubs and rubbing it in a 5 or 7-year-old's face when his favorite team is down.
Says you.
Yeah, says most people.
Says you.
Says most people who aren't into ruining the psyche of their own children.
I'm not going to ruin his psyche.
Okay.
Does he know that dad's rooting for a Triple A team at this point?
Time out.
You ride or die with your team.
Time out. This weekend, what I heard from you was when the White Sox were down, he was crying, and when they won, he went shirtless and was running around the house.
Sure, he's learning.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, like,
asking me again today, are you gonna root for the White Sox because the Cubs stink? He said, and I said, no, I'm rooting for the Cubs. He says, why, Daddy? I'm rooting for the White Sox. I go, I'll always support you when they don't play the Cubs.
I just checked DraftKings. You making your son cry is -130 right now this weekend.
He is leaving me notes on my pillow that say "Boo Cubs." He told Jason Benetti last week that he left me a note in my bathroom that says "Cubs are poop." Like, look, it takes two to tango.
Well,
here.
He is your son. He is your son. Yeah,
talking about some bulls here too. 312-332-3776. Are the Bulls back? Are they the next Chicago team after the White Sox to make the postseason? Will Coby White be back?
Yeah, I want to see him back. I'd like to see him back. He's going to be 22, right? Is he 21? How old is Coby? Look, there are some holes in his game. There's no question about it.
But now you could play him and let him do what he does best. And not have to fit him in the point guard role. Yeah. He could be the super scorer off the bench.
Off the bench, yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, he's going to be 22 years old in February. Like, look, we may look back and go, you know what, you gave him another year. It wasn't necessary because he's not going to be the player you want him to be. But I think we saw he could be a volume scorer at times. So, yeah, I think he may be able to fit that role perfectly for you. You still got to fill out a roster, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Robert on 355. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Just quick Bulls. My thoughts. I love what AK is doing. I believe this point guard can really help this offense and this team. You guys are just talking about Coby White. I believe he can play off the ball way better next to Lonzo Ball. Have him set him up. Coby White does not need the ball in his hands and run this. Yeah, AK and Eversley, they're doing such a great job. I mean, if you take Temple and Saddle, Pax would have traded that for a third center. You know what I mean? The third string center, and even give them a second round pick on top of that. And you could just see these management really making professional moves. I have such confidence in this front office for my Bulls. And my other opinion was, if they can't get DeRozan, how about Siakam from Toronto? But I believe his contract is too high to go after him because he's another young piece, I believe, that can fit in this team very well. Love the show, guys.
Thanks. Robert. I was saying before the show, Pac's built some good teams. And I know he's still there advising or whatever he's doing. But Pax was passive. Pax never was aggressive. When they were ready to compete for titles with Derrick Rose, they did nothing to get a two guard. Nothing. Ronnie Brewer was their two guard. Keith Bogans was their two guard. In this NBA, think about how preposterous that is. That you have a team that could compete with Miami, and you have Derrick Rose as the MVP, and you're playing Keith Bogans as your starting two guard.
Yeah, but the Bogans Heroes was one of the better nicknames for a fan.
But remember how much it ticked me off? He would stand in the corner.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and
it's a new day.
And when Pax took over, it had a chance for Dwayne Wade. Oh, are you kidding me? We can't give. Who was the player he couldn't give up?
Danielle Marshall.
Can't give up Danielle.
Say it together now. Danielle Marshall.
He's a veteran. He's a glue guy. Can't get rid of a Danielle Marshall for a future Hall of Famer in Dwayne Wade. Only to trade him 6 months later in another trade. I mean, they passive. Like, they're using, AK is using every salary cap loophole that the NBA gives. They would trade for a trade exception, and they would sit on it all year. When they traded Luol Deng for an expiring first-round pick to Sacramento, it expired into a second-round pick. And then when they expired to second-round pick, they sold the second-round pick. So they basically traded Luol Deng for nothing.
It's for some money.
For money, for Jerry. It wasn't even a strategic move. And this is what I mean. At least AK is using every tool possible to try. Will it work? I don't know. But at least he's going down swinging.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Justin in Dallas, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Waddle, Sylvie, how you all doing? Hope everything is good.
Fantastic.
I'm going to just be blunt. I hope AK pulls this off. If that means giving up Laurie and Kobe White, I'm cool with that. I'm tired of developing players that really don't want to develop. I'm trying to win. And I'm not saying that we might not win this year, but, I mean, if we can get pointed in that direction, then I'm fine with it. But I'm tired of hearing about developing players. We've been developing players since Gar and Pax was here. That's all I got to say. I mean, hope y'all have a good one.
Justin, you still got to develop players. You got to develop Io. Black, I didn't hear you talk about Kobe last night on my drive home, which was very good, all the Bulls breakdown. But how do you feel about Kobe White? And do you feel, while he's not untouchable, certainly, would you be disappointed if they would have to include him to get DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, probably. I think what's important is you want talent and depth, which this team has lacked both for quite some time. And I think signing Lonzo, signing Caruso, you now have depth in the backcourt. And you've kind of laid it out. Kobe White as a bench scorer is a perfect role for him at this moment. And think about the way the league is played today. You don't have to have the two guards, the two forwards, and a center on the court at all times. There is the possibility that Zach and Lonzo and Kobe all are on the court together, or some variation of that mixed in. And so I would think at 21, Kobe White has a lot of room to grow and to develop, and I would want to keep him in the mix as far as depth goes, and hopes that he turns into something more than he is right now.
How about in the meantime, he plays the campaign role where he comes in and gives you some scoring?
Certainly.
I'm being funny, but I'm being honest at the same time. Yeah. I mean, campaign gave the Suns a ton of depth this year, didn't he? Like, when they run some guys off, you run more guys on, and those guys are actually a threat.
He got 19. Did he get $19 million yesterday? Didn't he sign
Re-signed with the Suns.
Yeah.
I would also say we have now had two callers ask about Io DeSumo. You may have to watch him with the G League.
Right.
Because I don't think the way the roster is going to shape up here, unless they move Kobe White, I don't think there's really going to be a spot for him to play in the NBA on this team. So he's going to have to work in the G League.
Don't you find it odd that they would move off? What number pick was he? Seven? Was he seven? Kobe White?
Yes, Kobe White.
You're
was
not going to move off a seventh overall pick, even in going into his third round, for someone you drafted 38th overall this year, right? Yeah. I mean, Chris, you're right. No. I mean, you put him in the G League, and then you let him. You know,
you hope he develops.
You let him cook a little.
Yeah. Yeah, and if they kept Kobe, they're going to have a lot of players in the backcourt who are going to get minutes. Like, Zach's going to play, what, 35 minutes? Lonzo will probably play somewhere around 33, and then you have to figure out the rest.
Yeah, so. Unless Io shows you early on that he's a keeper right away. But a lot of people who watched him in high school love him. They're calling up, and they're saying he's a steal of the draft.
There were a lot of people, that said – somebody called Carmen the Good Kid, I think, said they thought he was a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I heard that today, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I've got a couple of appearances this week. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Hang out, have a beer with me, ice cold Miller Lite. Also be giving away Bears preseason tickets and fantasy football convention passes. Thursday, I'm going to be at Stony Point Grill in Mokina. It's 19031 South LaGrange Road. This is for an after-show party, 7 to 9. So I'll do the show here at the First Midwest Bank Studio. Then I'll drive to Mokina, and I hope to be there at 7 o'clock. And we'll be drinking ice-cold Miller Lite. Bears tickets, fantasy football convention passes, tell your friends. Then Friday I'm in Lincoln Park soon after Cubs Sox ends.
That's going to test the depth of your trivia question stuff, because you're a big trivia guy.
I am. I don't know if they'll be ready to play trivia at 6:30 after a Cubs Sox game in Lincoln Park.
Oh, yeah, they will.
6:30 to 8:30 at McGee's in Lincoln Park on Friday.
Who's your least favorite Cubs player for the rest of the remainder of the season?
I want to continue to take Bulls calls, and Anthony Rizzo was on the station, and he had some counter words for Jed Hoyer a day after Jed saying, hey, look, no one wanted our money. That's not my fault. What did Rizzo have to say? Hear it next.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Let's take a couple more Bulls calls at 332-3776. And Anthony Rizzo was on the station. Really good stuff today. Especially the response to Jed Hoyer and what he said with Cap and Jay Hood yesterday. Robert in Villa Park here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
What is going on, man? It is great. Oh, first and foremost, what a beautiful day we're having. I hope you guys are well. God bless you guys, man. This is my favorite radio station of all time.
Thank you, Robert.
And I'm really excited about just being here and being able to chop it up with you guys.
I'm feeling your positivity today, Robert, and I love it.
Oh, it's every day. It's an everyday thing. You already know what it is, Waddle. But I just want to talk about the Bulls real quick, man. Lonzo Ball, I think it's just a perfect fit. Is he the best point guard in the NBA? Absolutely not. But he is going to be a great fit because we have a true shooting guard that can score anywhere on the court. Two-pointers, drive to the basket, three-point shots. It doesn't matter. LaVine can do it all. And he's going to take it to the next level. I can't wait to see him this year. We're going to see Patrick Williams. I believe he's going to play the four. I think he's going to do well, man. I think he's going to be able to spread the floor. I think he's going to prove he can score in this league. And he's already proven that that he can play that true defense. We have a big man that can spread the floor, that can post up, that can pass the ball. This is the most balanced team in the NBA. And I am really excited to see how far this Bulls team can go. Because what we know about this past season, anything can happen. Anything can happen, and hopefully something great happens for the city of Chicago yet again, man. I'll let you guys top it up, whatever I had to say, and God bless you guys, man. You guys take it easy.
People are thirsty. People are thirsty. They need the Bulls. It's something we haven't had in this town. It's a basketball town. Like, I know it's a football town first. I'm not saying that this is a basketball town first, but in general, this is a basketball town, and we need good.
Thank you, Michael Jordan.
Yes, right.
Thank you, Michael
Absolutely.
Jordan.
Yes. Absolutely.
Sylvie makes a good point, though, because the way the NBA schedule usually hits, if when May hits and the playoffs are going on and the Bulls are involved, this city starts to pop.
Oh my gosh.
The weather. It's the people getting together for watch parties. It's watching a team every other night competing in playoff series. Sylvia, you're right. There's a different – it's a Bears town, and then we have Cubs Sox and the whole vibe of the summer. But there's a different vibe in the city when the Bulls are good.
When they've got the Deer District, we're going to have the bullpen.
We got to figure something out, right?
We're going to have the bullpen.
I remember there was like an 8:30 late game at the United Center. This was late in March or April. It was an unseasonably warm day. It felt like the playoffs. It wasn't the playoffs yet, Bleck. And this was one of those games where Derrick Rose was a late scratch. And do you remember that was, what's his name, the third, who was the little guard whose dad was a coach.
Jay something.
No. John Lucas.
John Lucas III, JL3, my guy, lit up LeBron. He closed the game out against the Heat with a couple, like a turnaround jumpers or something, and that place was going crazy. And then another Bulls-Heat game where the Heat came in with that 27-game win streak. And the roof was going to blow off the United
States. I didn't know JL3 was your guy.
I'm the small guy club. This is, I know this. Like, I adopted all those little guards.
Did you?
Yeah, JL3 was, I wasn't building a team around him, but... Yeah. I like JL.
No, it was the CJ Thibodeau.
Watson, or was he too tall?
No,
too tall, not small enough?
He was okay, CJ. Okay.
Thibodeau knows how to get the little guards and to have them succeed.
Yeah.
He does it with a new one each and every year.
And then DJ Augustine. DJ
Augustine. I liked Augustine.
Nate Robinson.
He was the original.
CJ Watson.
And Bleck, to your point again.
Watson too tall for Sylvie. He just shot that down when I just said
it. Wasn't good enough for me. Yeah. He was a streaky shooter. He was good. He was the originator of the bench mob. I believe CJ Watson was the one who called them the bench mob originally. But to your point, did you see New York? New York only won that one playoff game against Atlanta, but that city was going crazy after that win, like they won the championship. This city needs another scene like that at the United Center where we're positive. We're like, again, that Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler team against the Celtics when they were up 2-0, I'm like, they're not going anywhere.
Too tall.
What's the last great moment in Bulls playoff history? It's Derrick Rose hitting that bank shot, right? Yeah, that 3-point bank shot, and everyone just went 2-1 nuts.
2-1 Bulls, and they had him down late third quarter. Other Bulls fans will tell you that they called the timeout Cleveland, that they never got charged for it, should have been a technical foul. There were some other weird things that happened late in that game. The Bulls had them ready. They could have stepped on their throat and they could finish them in that game or that series.
And then didn't at some point at the very end, guys just look like they wanted to be elsewhere.
Game 6 at home, when I was looking for their response to send it to a game 7.
Right.
They quit. They all quit. Jimmy quit. Derek quit. Tibbs ended up getting fired.
Yeah, Butler went into the locker room and he changed his shoes. I remember that being something. And like Jimmy was doing his own thing then. And he was like, "I'm done with this group," and it was a disaster.
That's the biggest indictment you can ever place upon a player, a sports person.
They quit that. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
It was funny because Tibbs' number one rule was never let go of the rope. Like that was one of his first things he taught the team, that you all got to hold on to the rope. That was one of his battle cries. And what'd they do when the going got tough? They quit.
Not a good tug of war team at the end.
We went to the Billy Goat after that win when Derek hit that shot. It was a Friday night. I was reminiscing with someone at the golf outing about this. And it felt like we're going to finally slay LeBron. Like we didn't do it in Miami. But now we're going to ruin him and Kyrie in this series. We've got him exactly where we want him. And we're finally going to slay him.
And do they serve booze at the Billy Goat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do.
You hit Madison. You know what I mean? You walk down Madison. You check out the bars. I think we went to West End after that. West End was always my spot. But I think
you would hold court literally, and you guys would be diagramming plays, your favorite inbounds plays.
How are we going to get them in game 4? Yeah. We're on napkins.
You had a whole crew there, didn't you? Your whole crew.
Some shots and diagramming of plays. That was our type of Friday night.
Can we
eat
some more fries over here?
See red, baby. Jeremiah Plainfield's the one who called earlier. He's drinking the IO Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I hope he's right.
Top 10 player of this draft, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, baby. I'm sorry. A man was getting chased by a dog. I was going to give him a ride.
Wait. Paint a picture for us. What was going on?
Man, I'm riding home, and I see a guy dressed in some clothing, and this dog is chasing him. I'm like, you want to hop in? I know the dog, and I don't know the guy, but I guess he's all right now. When the dog saw me, he ran away.
What was the dog's name?
Yeah, I'm trying to wonder who do you think was in the wrong here? Was it the dog that you know or the man that you didn't know?
I think it's the guy I didn't know.
Well, and you wanted him in your car?
Yeah, you invited him in your car?
Man, today's my birthday. I was trying to be a good Samaritan.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
I appreciate it, guys. Listen, guys, man, I've heard a few callers even on your show today talking crazy about the Bulls. Let me tell you something. This team, you should be ecstatic about. I'm giving them top four behind Milwaukee, New Jersey, who I think they can beat if they get DeRozan because of the defenders they will have, and Miami. Now, after that, it's anybody's game. I love what AK's doing.
Did you not mention the champion Bucks?
I said Milwaukee first.
Oh, you did say Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah. What AK's doing is incredible, guys. AO and Pat Williams are assets he's building behind the main guys he's going to get here. So not only is he building up a team for us to compete, he's building up players after that in case we don't keep guys like Zach LaVine. Not saying that's not going to happen down the line, but I'm hearing Kevin Durant here next year, win or lose for the Nets.
Wait, hold on here. Now, this got more interesting than the dog
story. The birthday celebration started early.
Jeremiah, did you just say that Kevin Durant is coming to Chicago?
I was hanging out with the players in Vegas for the Olympics, and all of us, they were talking about Kevin Durant to Chicago next year, win or lose for the next.
Am I right that Kevin Durant and Zach LaVine have spent a lot of time together at the Olympics?
They were in Vegas at the Aria. I got pictures, man. I'll send them to you. We were all hanging out. Even old players were there. Sean Marion, other guys. Pat Williams even came down.
Right, he was on the slide team.
Kevin Durant loves Pat Williams and Zach LaVine. And win or lose, I'm telling you right now with the Nets, he is coming to Chicago next year. Even if we don't get DeRozan, don't fret. Ayo. Now, my comment about Ayo. I've been watching this kid, guys, since he was in sixth grade. AAU ball. High school at Morgan Park. The coach from Illinois did him a disservice. He does not know AO's game like he scouted him.
Is it AO or IO? Waddle wants to know. He keeps looking at me and asking me this question while you're talking, Jeremiah.
It's AO. And at the game, we used to sing, AO! Every time he hit a basket, he was scoring 50 points in high school games versus guys. He has probably more skill on the team than anybody now. And it's just raw skill, and you'll see that. We got a steal in the draft. He should have been a top 10 pick easily, if not higher than that, in the draft, man.
How can you be higher than top 10? Like, I mean, if you're – did you get drafted
Didn't he win the award for best point guard, too?
Yes, he did.
At least – I'm sorry, the Cubs got my mind on that. At least
Jeremiah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
right,
Jeremiah.
Thanks for spending it with us.
Be careful. Be safe.
There you go.
The college basketball universe spent the whole year mispronouncing his name then, didn't he? Because I thought they would call him Ayo the whole year. I don't know.
Maybe it's Ayo.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
All right. But I think the biggest thing from his call is he said that in Vegas, the chatter was that KD's coming to Chicago. Mark it down. You heard it first
here. I believe more that he was getting chased by a guy. He saw a dude getting chased by the dog, and he personally knows the dog more than Durant's coming here.
But why would you want the guy to get into your car then?
Right.
If you know the dog.
If you know the dog. Hey, dog.
If I know the dog, I trust the dog more than I trust the guy.
Maybe he knows the dog. Listen, I know a lot of people that I wouldn't let in my car, so maybe he knows the dog shouldn't be in the car. Maybe he knows the man.
You guys know how this works. The dogs always know. You get a weird person walking around. They can sense.
That was an adventure. That call was that took me on a journey right there. 312-332-3776. We've got our great clip of the day, and it's Anthony Rizzo battling Jed Hoyer. You'll hear it next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, don't forget, today is a Would You Rather Tuesday. Let's get in your Would You Rathers. You have a chance to win a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. Tweet Abdallah, tweet Black, use the hashtag WS Would You Rather. We'll read the best either or question coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll also get a Bears report here in the next half hour from Mark Potash. Right now it's time for our great clip of the day.
Welcome to the greatest clips on ESPN 1000, presented by Great Clips.
All right, I want to set the stage. Yesterday, Jed Hoyer was on with Cap and Jay Hood. He talked about one of his biggest regrets is not being able to sign a lot of the core pieces that they feel like they have given them fair offers through the last several years that he feels will hold up on the open market, that they'll be proven right, that their offers were fair, especially at the time, considering what the market is going to be now and what they're probably going to end up getting. So Anthony Rizzo was on with Cap and Jay Hood today, and they asked him, what'd you make of Jed Hoyer's comments?
I kind of confused on, you know, why I say that. Sounds like a bad breakup and the person saying that they're fine when they're not fine. But, I mean, listen, you have – when it comes to the guys on our team and what we did, and Gold Gloves, Silver Sluggers, MVPs, Rookie of the Years, good people, those things cost money. And I know it comes down to a business, and when you want your cake, you want to eat it too. I mean, that was just kind of how it seemed. And I think it can all speak for itself that there's a common denominator no one signed. And whoever wants to dig in that can, but I just think that, you know, we had such great memories there that to come out on air and say that just doesn't really make sense, but it is what it is.
So he didn't like that Jed even mentioned that. And then he feels like, look, with the services that we provide cost money. Now, all those awards that he mentioned happened, but that was in the past. You're always supposed to pay on future performance, not on past performance. And I don't believe any of those players are here anymore. The MVP is no longer here. Javi Baez is no longer an MVP candidate. You know, Anthony Rizzo right now isn't an offensive force, whether it was because of the pandemic last year and it's been because of the contract this year. And he went on to say a little bit more about that. You know, the common denominator with all those guys, too, other than all of them not accepting, is that they've all performed worse than they did in the heyday. Like, that's what they have in common, too, is that what they did in 16 and 17 and even 18 is no longer here in 19, 20, 21 and going forward. Another common denominator between those guys, and I hate beating up Rizzo and these guys who I love, is that they've lost and that they've underachieved. And it's not all on them, but the core did not equal the sum of the parts.
Well, contractually as well, like Rizzo signed a long-term deal years ago, right? And wanted the security, which, I mean, that's his decision. He's the reason why he didn't reach free agency until the end of this year, because he took a deal that he outplayed. I mean, like the pure economics of it say, yeah, you were underpaid versus what you were performing, the level you were performing at. But you made the decision to sign that contract.
But he's saying they should get that money now because they won those in the past.
Yeah, no, and you
and
can't.
It has
you
nothing
can't
to do with
yeah,
past
you can't
performance.
Run. You can't run your organization that way.
Look, Jed Waddle and I want to continue this call too, because Waddle and I went through a list of mistakes that this front office made. By no means Waddle could speak for himself. By no means, as me as a diehard Cub fan, am I, quote, team management on this. But I also feel like the players are a huge fault here. That the Cubs did not break up the 98 Bulls. Make no mistake about it. This wasn't a team playing in their prime, winning at a peak level. The performances continued to go down. A lack of hitting was always the problem, especially with the core guys in these postseason performances or down the stretch. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776. Play you some more Rizzo coming up. And I want to go through management's at fault, too. They made plenty of mistakes. That's in 2 short minutes.